Always a pleasure to bring on from Huntsville, our returning champion on the Democrat side, former Congressman Parker Griffith. Congressman, how are you today?
Good morning, Jeff. Good morning. Doing fine. It's overcast here. A little cool. It was like 33, 34 this morning. It's now in the 40s, and so we're doing fine. It's just beginning January, and gosh, there's so much going on, and it's for those of us who love politics, it's a great time to watch ringside how the civil war going on in the Republican Party, the civil war in the Democratic Party. All the pundits are saying it's an attack on democracy, and probably it's not. It's probably just politics as usual. But I think Trump. I don't know who in the world allowed Trump to get on a telephone call, not thinking it would be recorded. I mean, I think he's lost all of his advisors. I think he's just missed them. I'm sure somebody said, "President, do not do this."
Yeah,
and of course, he did it anyway.
I mean, it was probably ill-advised, but I don't think it's quite the criminal scandal. They're going to frog march Trump out of the White House. They finally got him, you know. But it you're right. It was something that shouldn't be done. Let me ask you though. This what happened yesterday? Nancy Pelosi building the plexiglass chamber and the balcony there in the House chamber. And I think you might agree with this, but she really is cringe-inducing at times.
She needed to go home a long time ago, in my opinion. As a Democrat who served under Pelosi for a short time, she is not good for the Democratic Party. She is as toxic to some of us Democrats as Trump is to some Republicans. And neither one of those people need to be leaders in America. We need other people to step up. I think she's on the way out. She has to be reelected every 2 years, not every four. So I think this is her last 24 months. And it'll be refreshing to see who steps up to take her place. It'll be a great contest to see who leads the Republican Party and who leads the Democratic Party. We've got so much dead wood at the top of our political trees, both Republican and Democratic trees, that it's got to fall out. I mean, we've got to get some new leadership. We've got China on our fringes. We've got Russia on our fringes. We've got Iran, Iraq, and the boy with the bad haircut in North Korea on our fringes. And we need some leadership. And whether Biden can provide that, he may surprise us. But we've got too many people that are in their mid late 70s leading the greatest country in the world, and they may not be as nimble or agile or smart or tuned in to what's going on in the rest of the world. So it's going to be an interesting time. I hope all of your listeners are love politics like we do and want the best for America. I think we all have the same goals. We just sometimes have a different way of getting there.
Go ahead.
We just have our leadership sucks.
I tell you what, Congressman. Though, so I was in D.C. for Obama when he won the election, and it goes on inauguration day in D.C. It was like a very festive occasion. I was at Obama's first inauguration and Trump's inauguration. You talk about two different towns, very 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 different towns. It was like I remember being in D.C. when Trump was sworn in. It was kind of like being at Auburn the day after a big Iron Bowl loss. Alabama just lays it on Auburn, and then you kind of bummed out. No one's really, everyone's going through the motions. That's what Inauguration Day in 2017 felt like, but in 2009, you know, everybody took off work. There were it was freezing cold outside, but people were grilling out. I mean, it was a very fun, festive atmosphere. Everybody was excited. Went to, you know, going to church. Everybody there's very excited about the new era, getting rid of George W. Bush. We got Obama in. Everything's going to be great. I got to be honest, though. I don't really sense any kind of – I don't really have a sense of anything with what – the Joe Biden days have in store. Yeah, there's no excitement.
I'm there with you on that. I mean, politics is not a merit system. We don't elect people because of their ability or their past experiences. We elect them usually in the last 6 weeks of who's got the most money, who can say the worst things about their opponents. And we emotionally select our leaders, which at times has been wonderful. At other times, we suffer because of it. And I think for the last, Bush flying in on his airplane saying the war is over, 18 years premature. And then we had Obama who had absolutely no experience in Congress except 2 years as a U.S. senator, community organizer, no real bona fides as far as running a country is concerned or managing anything. And then we jumped to Trump, who just can't get enough attention. I mean, I think he must have a house. He must live in a house of mirrors. It'll tell you how strong America is that we've had to endure Obama, Pelosi, we've had to endure Trump, and we're pretty confused, and we're polarized, and we go to the emotional mattresses about who said what about who and who's an American, who's not. And we talk about Republicans and Democrats, and we rarely talk about America.
Well,
and so it's.
I tell you what, though.
We've got to outgrow that sometime.
I tell you what, though. I just had your I guess, former arch nemesis, Dale Jackson, on earlier in the program. We were talking about this. What do Democrats do now, though? You know, Trump will still be there, I guess, tangentially to run against. Obama ran against, made it work against Bush, but. To me, at some point, it would be as if a Republican candidate made his or her platform about running against Hillary Clinton. That you're not going to, unless Trump runs again in 24, which is, I think, a strong possibility. But in the interim, Democrats are going to have to start showing, I would think, some results and not just make it about getting the orange man bad out of the Oval Office.
Yeah, well, I agree. The Republicans, you know, they spent 8 years trying to make sure Obama didn't get anything done, and the Democrats are trying to make sure Trump didn't get anything done, and now the Republicans have got to decide who is going to be their leader, and I think that's what Trump's doing right now. He's creating a loyalty test as we go into the counting the electoral votes. He wants to know who's on his team and who's not on his team. And I think he's going to put some senators at risk as far as re-election is concerned. So I think there is a civil war going on in the Republican Party. Trump is going to demand loyalty. We've already seen what he does. He's paranoid as he can be. And if he smells disloyalty, you're out the door. So we can expect some real choppy water as far as the Republicans concerned, although – I think McConnell is going to eventually be a lot more important than Trump is. I don't think Trump realizes that when you lose, the phones don't ring and your appointment ability is gone. You're no longer the president. And in Trump's case, he's unlikable. Even the people that are supporting him don't like him. So he's got a problem out there. The Democrats did not do very well as far as I think they've got a 10 or 11, how many, I forget what the numbers are in the House, but it's a close vote there. So we can expect some real, real bitter fighting and grandstanding until the voter gets sick and tired of the dysfunctional Congress and Senate. We're going to keep sending buffoons to represent us on an emotional level, not even caring whether they're qualified or not.
This is kind of an interesting topic to me, because the last week before all these senators came out and said they're going to participate in this election protest, there was speculation. Who's going to back Mo Brooks on his election challenge from the Senate? And the first name everyone pointed to was Senator Tommy Tuberville. Even Donald Trump pointed to him. He was sworn in, and then 2 days later, he was going to be the senator to stand with Mo Brooks. And then you saw this kind of, it seemed like a panic, that Mitch McConnell was going to punish the state of Alabama. And Tommy Tuberville stepped out of line and dared challenge his authority. I was very skeptical of that premise, but the second part of me says, where are we as an elector? Do we want, I would assume you don't get any more ruby red than the state of Alabama and sending, what you say, crazies, that's right, or whatever. But we still send a Richard Shelby to the Senate. We still send Robert Aderholt, Mike Rogers, these guys that know the game. It seems like a conflict. Is the approach, let's get what we can while we can for the state of Alabama? That's our congressional district. Or do you want more of the Barry Moore, Mo Brooks type ideologues up there that they run on what they say they're running on, supporting Trump, backing Trump? They're ideologically rigid, and by golly, they're going to go up there, and that's how they're going to act as a member of those bodies.
Yeah, that's what we got, and it's unfortunate, but that's what we are now. It's easy to understand. It's easy to understand their platform or their ideology. They're confident but wrong about so many issues, but they're confident about it. Alabama does not have a significant political IQ. We're visual learners. Rarely are we readers, and so we're pretty much dependent on TV or probably Fox News, I guess. I don't know what Fox News is going to do with Trump. Trump trashing them now, and Newsmax is trying to get further and further to the right.
Are you a Newsmax viewer there, Congressman?
No, I'm not.
You got to check it out, because it's phenomenal. I mean, the quality is a little, but for like the last month, they've been planning Trump's second term. It's really remarkable.
Oh yeah, it is. I mean, we're fragmented. I mean, America's fractured. Trump's no more Republican than the man in the moon, and he basically said that, and the Republicans didn't want him. And then he won. And so he's a big spender. He wants $2,000 now, and the other $600. He sounds like a blue dog Democrat.
Well, I tell you, like the Republican Party, you have these ideological transformations from time to time. And I think we were kind of coming out of the Tea Party wave. They were trying to be Milton Friedman or the conservative thinkers of the day, the William F. Buckley, this academic approach to conservatism. Well, if I'm with Trump, it's flag waving nationalism. And you can loosely define whatever pro America is, but he wants to capture that space as being pro America and paint the other side as anti-American, but that doesn't necessarily have any ideological roots.
That's right, and it's an easy thing to understand. I mean, I think that's the genius of Trump. it's easy to understand Trump when he's on the stump or with, when he's tweeting. He doesn't care whether it's true or not. Matter of fact, it's usually not true, but it sounds good, and his base loves it, and he's playing the right tune for his people. He's very, very similar to George Wallace. Wallace was good at that. He knew what to say, how to phrase it. Wallace did not call, well, he actually did, but he wasn't as bad about calling people names as Trump is. And Trump is a genius at that.
But so, you know who?
Trump doesn't want to go away.
We may have, we're running a little time here, but I may have brought this up to you that it's not necessarily, everybody likes to make the Wallace-Trump comparison, but I think Trump's more like Big Jim Folsom and just in his personal life and the way the power structure in the state opposed him. That seems to be a more apt comparison.
Well, Big Jim was like that. You know, there's a famous story about calling the press in and saying to him, tired of you guys writing bad things about me. If you're trying to catch me with a woman or too much whiskey, I could just tell you, you can catch me every day. It's not anything to write about.
Right.
That's basically what Trump said. Yeah, I'm fooling around with the prostitutes. And yeah, I had to pay a few off, but
it's
no big deal.
We got to end it on that note. Congressman, I always appreciate you making time for us. We'll do it again real soon. We
sing about all right, Jeff. That's wicked. Thank you.
Thanks. Former Congressman Parker Griffith with the official Jeff Porch Show Democrat Response. We'll be right back. This is FN Talk 106.5.